Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and today I am joined by my good friend for the first time this summer. Well, it's not summer yet. Is it summer? Aram in Toronto. What's up, Aram?
It's summer in Toronto, baby. We have 6 months of winter. It was pretty warm today. I had a softball game. I sweat my ass off. I was icing my back right before this. So summer has started. Let's go. And summer for the Warriors because we're in Cancun and whatnot. How are you feeling about this, the off season so far?
I feel okay. At first, when things slowed down, there was no news. I was like, you know, just kind of missing it. You know what I mean? I wasn't missing the mediocre brand of basketball we saw all last season into the playoffs, but I was just missing kind of the intrigue, right? We're all waiting on whether or not Bob Myers actually stays with the Warriors or he moves on. Real quick, just off the top of your head, Myers, is he staying or leaving?
He's staying. it's the last dance for him.
Yeah.
He's going to ride it out with this core. He can't say no to Steph.
Yeah, I'll just say he's leaving just to put it on the record and to be the
next time you go first, though, and then I can be contrarian. So,
all right. Well, the offseason, you know, like the fun stuff is something we always talk about. Some of our favorite things, like free agency, but more importantly, you know, fake trades.
Yes. Right?
So.
Yes.
We talked about, like, there's been a bunch of fake trade ideas tossed out by random publications and by other folks, listeners on the Discord that we have. And if you're not on the Discord, you should join. The link is in the description below. And just all over the interwebs from good sources, some not so good sources, but whatever. But, you know, we're going to talk fake trades and how do you want to do this? What do you got for me, man? Okay, you always have fun ways of doing stuff.
Yes, I do. Okay. So, I mean, let's just also say that, you know, in this beginning of the offseason, the reason why we have fake trades is the postmortem has been filtering out. You don't hear fake trades after they win a championship like they did last year. There's things to address. And so, and considering the acrimony that the season started with, I think most of our fake trades are going to center around one particular person. Now, just to take a step backwards, take the global view, I think it's important to talk about our trade objectives. Of course,
let's make the team better.
Yes, of course. But how are you approaching your trades? And actually, for the sake of this exercise, are you doing what you, Patrick, would do? Or are you doing what you think they'll do?
I am doing what I, Patrick, will do, because what I think they'll do might be kind of boring.
Hey, we do need to address that as well. So, okay, we'll get to that. Okay, then I will approach it as that as well. We won't do our Bob and Joe Lacob impersonation that we did at one point. So, your trade objectives and how you'll make the team better will come through in terms of how you respond to these. I want to ask you too, just as an aside, because we're also talking about, you know, the fun stuff of the off season. I want to know how you feel about the draft. As you know, the most exciting time of the year. It's Warriors Christmas. But for some reason, I don't know, this year it feels more like Warriors Easter or something like that. I'm not excited for it. And so I don't actually really care about the draft pick this year. It's in a good spot. There seems to be some interesting players. But I'm a little bit more in the F them picks kind of mood right now. And I mentioned that because that I think that is definitely in play in terms of the trades.
Yeah. My objective for fake trades is to make the team better. but also just to, you know, fill out some of the questionable areas, whether it's a backup big, because I don't know if Draymond and Kevon Looney can really survive next season. You know, they had Jamichael Green and they had Bielitsa the year before, so they need somebody there. And then also perhaps maybe a backup point guard. So like those are the kinds of things I'm in general looking for. But, you know, to me, the draft is fun, but I'm with you. Like, kick that pick, package it with somebody, whatever. You know, we don't need any more youth, and not like I'm against youth. I just think there's too much youth, right?
Yeah.
So I'm
in a similar frame of mind. I'm like, no more babies, too many mouths to feed already. Sorry if there's Easter fans out there, but it does feel like Warriors Easter. You addressed a couple of things. So I do want to sketch out broadly what the roster looks like. And I think also just as a parameter setting out, when we do these fake trades, we're just going to talk main pieces. Of course, there would be fillers to match salary, future draft picks, blah, blah, blah. I'm no CBA or cap expert. People want to go to Fanspo, SpoTrack, whatever, and try to like pick holes through our fake trades. Go to the Discord and tell us how we messed up. So
link below in the description.
Yeah, right there, right over there. And I do think so. In our fake trades, we'll say future considerations. Okay, So just cool. To sketch out next year's roster. Let's go with the foundational six, right? You got Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Looney, and then Draymond, who has a player option. We don't know what's happening with that. Feels like that's a little bit contingent on Bob and whatever moves and direction they want to go. And then Poole, that's your top foundational six, right? And so I don't know about you, but on my list, Draymond and Poole are highlighted in very bright colors. In terms of those could be major pieces to move. Now below that, we have Jonathan Kuminga, who we all love in Dub Nation. Maybe not ready, but also the most valuable piece that can be in play.
Oh, he's ready. Trades.
But he didn't play at all, Patrick.
That's Kerr's fault.
The youngster who was ready to play, apparently, Moses Moody. I think less trade value, but could be in play in terms of having interest as a 3-and-D wing. And then you got your fringe roster folks. Patrick Baldwin Jr. It just says PBJ here. And then we got Ryan Rollins, and then Lamb and Ty Jerome. I think if those players could be brought back for cheap, I'm sure there's like a high likelihood that they'll be back, right? Like
you're missing
minimum. Who am I missing? Somebody who didn't retire, you mean? What did I miss?
Gary Payton II.
Oh, right. Oh, late season acquisition. I should have shared this list with you. Right. All right. Hold on. Let me put that in there. Foundational seven, apparently. So if we're not counting Lamb and Ty Jerome, that's 11 roster spots of people who are under contract. We're counting Ryan Rollins. I put Lester Q. Quinones down here seems like somebody they like who's in their system. So, you know, you already addressed, and I agree with you, they need more big depth, right? You can't run those guys into the ground. Draymond did not have consistent effort in the playoffs, and I'm sure that's partially because he was doing a lot of heavy lifting, and he's old, right? So some depth at the 4-5 position for sure. Is there any other needs that you feel this roster needs in terms of what we're going to go out and trade for?
I mean, there's always needs, but I think those are the main two. It's like, if you're trying to find an athletic wing, it's like, hey, we got one of those. Or a stretch big, potentially one of those. Maybe he'll be ready by, you know, mid-season or something, if the season isn't a catastrophe like the beginning of this past season was. You know what I mean? So I feel like some of those pieces are there. So I'm always open, but the backup big and backup point guard are kind of important to me. You know, you can always use wings, but I like our wings right now.
I agree. I think that, again, backup big, but basically they need somebody who does what Poole does, but just maybe not Poole. Because of the bad vibes, right? And it's not just the bad vibes. I think some of the bad vibes comes from him being erratic. And I don't know, at, you know, did the bad vibes come from being him being erratic, or did him being erratic, was that caused by the bad vibes? Or, you know, we're just in this doom loop of those things, right? And and considering the mood of the team, I feel he has to go. Or rather, I mean, I wouldn't actively try to say like, oh, he has to go. But because somebody who does what he does, when you break down when he starts or when he fills in for Curry, his numbers are pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, somebody who does what he does and trying to get that for his relative value right now, which I think is probably pretty low, and we're probably undervaluing him in the sense that we won't get equal value for him. But if you can get somebody who is less erratic, I think maybe that's worth it. And do you have enough in other places that can fill that in? Now, I also wanted to, I have 2 points to make before we dive into these fake trades that we've seen all over the internet, on the Discord, and I came up with a few as well. Do you think, what percentage possibility do you think that Poole will be on the roster opening night next season?
50-50, to be honest.
That's quite high. So you think there's like a chance they run it back?
I think there is. I think there's a chance that they move somebody else. Maybe they move Kuminga. Maybe they move Moody because his value actually went back up. And maybe they move the pick with them to try to fill out. I personally think Poole, and I've done episodes about this, I've talked about this, that I think Poole should be gone, largely because, you know, not because he's bad per se, but I just think it's good for the mojo of the team because, as you listed it, they are returning a bunch of dudes already who are in Steve Kerr's rotation. And if you bring back Poole, you're basically running it back with so many of the same guys, and that's not going to work. You're not just going to take 3 months off and be like, we're good, we're good, okay, good, we're good. You know, it's not worth it to me for them to even try that. It's like a bad relationship, right? It's like, oh, you know, you could work on it, or, you know, just cut your losses and move on. And I kind of think that's what they should do. Again, not, you know, people on Discord have brought this up, like, you don't want to just trade him to trade him. Of course not. You know, his value is low because of the recency bias of his rough season in the playoffs. But again, you find a team, maybe not a playoff team, maybe a team that wants a guy from the shiny Golden State Warriors who can average 20 points. And you can look at him and be like, oh man, look what he did against Denver in the first round last year. Look what he did in March of 2022. Before he got punched, before he had to get yo-yoed between the starters and the bench, and hey, we can give him a starting role, and we think we can bring this out of him, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and somebody on the Discord, let's see, Mick G-Boy, he pointed out that, you know, for everybody that wants a trade Poole, you know, try to hopefully have figured out who's going to play when Steph is gone for 20 games or injured for 20 games. And for me too, it's like when Clay is out. And yeah, absolutely. Like we are thinking about that. You have to think about that because a big part of Poole's the reason why I was happy that they signed him was like with Steph and Clay, their age and Clay's injury history, it was like, hey, we need somebody who can fill in for each of their spots at any given time and run the offense. And Poole is the only guy in the league because he's been in it and he has the skill enough to do it. So you need to figure it out. I will say one more thing about Poole. I mean, Steph did say during the season that the thing about Poole coming off the bench is that it's the same look that they get with the starters, that the defense sees the same kind of offense. Whereas in the past, when they could bring in like a David West or Maurice Spates, they had, you know, different offenses that weren't just predicated on Steph Curry or somebody playing that role. So they would have to, it was like a change of pace thing. So that's another reason why, okay, you know, maybe you could move on from him in general.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a great point from McGboy that we need to consider filling the stats while Steph is out. So I think a number of these potential trades do that. Just to go back to your 50-50, is your 50-50 assuming Draymond is on that roster?
My 50-50 is, yeah, I mean, I think Dre's going to be on the roster. I think Steph wants it. I think he will, he sees the writing on the wall, right? Like no one else is not going to be as great anywhere else. And this idea of, you know, in the same uniform, going out with Steph, all this stuff. I think they could survive without Bob Myers if Dunleavy takes over, unless Dunleavy wants to clean house. I don't know if Dunleavy's like super aligned with Lacob and he's just going to be like, okay, Mad King, let's do it, you know? So I think Draymond will be on there, and I don't know these guys personally, so maybe there is a way they can get past it. Maybe they, you know, Poole and Draymond go on vacation together or something. I don't know, but there is a possibility, and, you know, maybe I'm overstating it based on because I also want to be sure that we get something good. So maybe that's why it's a 50-50 for me. You know, they're not going to make a bad deal per se.
Yeah, I think they won't make a terrible deal. I think that, but that's, this is also, you know, he has kind of outgrown the role and there doesn't seem to be any inroads to a place where he is starting. You hear him talking about needing opportunity, and let's be honest, he's not getting that opportunity beyond the filling in. And he wants a team of his own. It's also the reason why they signed him to that large contract, because if you're trying to get something back, you need to be able to move the money. You can't piece together, you know, Ryan Rollins and an extended lamb for a marquee player, right? Or somebody who's going to contribute, right? So, I mean, I think it was smart to sign him to the extension to retain that flexibility. And we saw that with the D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. They used that money slot to go get somebody who fit them better. And so I think that's what's going to happen, especially because the vibes. And so in that respect, I think I feel over 90% that he's not going to be back.
Yeah. Hey, who knows? Maybe I'm 50-50 because I've also been so adamant that in my last like two or three episodes that one of them has to go, that Poole or Draymond has to go. And it's been a few days, so maybe I've mellowed out. I don't know. But I do think that I do agree with you that, like, I mean, and that's what I've been saying too. It's like you can't expect this team to come back exactly the same way. It's better for the team if you don't have to deal with it. It's hugely better for Poole if he can just move on, get a starting spot. Clay's not going anywhere. You get away from Clay holding on to that starting spot, and you can get away from Draymond's, you know, this hovering over you, this cloud that, again, do you think that there is an arena that Poole played in where no one said anything about it to him from the crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or other players didn't say anything to him about it. It won't go away, but at least if he goes to another team, he can move on And that book is closed, right? And
yeah,
he can just continue his career and do whatever he does. So
I'm glad you brought up Clay, because I think sometimes on the Discord or in some of these fake trades, you'll see Clay being traded. He's not going to get traded unless it's some mega deal and they need it for, and when we're talking mega deal, we're talking about like Carl Anthony Towns or something like that, where you match those max players, right? He's not going to get traded. I think other people have said that he needs, and maybe we have too. I think a lot of people have said Clay needs to take a step back. He's not going to do that. He's going to start. He's not going to come off the bench. He has a year left on his contract. There's no way he's coming off the bench. He's going to try to showcase. He's going to show his value as much as he can.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quality that gives him, you know, that brazen confidence. He still has that. He still believes that he can be that player. Whether or not that's true, you know, the Lakers series is lingering in all of our minds, but he also was a really good player in the early part of the calendar year. So, you know, I think for the sake of this exercise, I'm not considering any Clay trades, because it's just not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, so, you know, I just, again, unless it's one of these big.
Everyone's tickets, tuning out now.
Yeah. You came here for Clay trades. Well, we know who we're trading here. But, you know, all of this is to, you know, we're some minutes in, but this is all to show that there's a lot of things to take into account. And we're not even in the locker room. We're not even with the team. There's so much to navigate in this space. But let's just do it. Let's go. All right.
All right.
Okay. I have a list, and I think you have some as well too. Okay.
Yeah.
There seems to be some teams. I mean, there's a lot of parity in the league. There are some teams that seem kind of in flux, whether they are trying to build or if they're trying to course correct or something. So I think these first two are the ones you hear the most. And Orlando and Toronto. Toronto still hasn't gotten a new coach yet as of the recording of this. And I think that new coach will indicate what kind of direction they're going for. But it didn't work out this year. So I would say I have two trades.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be Poole and Kuminga for Siakam. You get your kind of high octane scorer, a big you can use in a rotation with Looney and Draymond, or the one which I think is less probable is Poole and Kuminga for OG, Boucher and Precious. I added Boucher and Precious because it needed to make the salaries match. I tried to mostly get these salaries in the right, in the same realm. So do either of those trades interest you?
It's funny, right? Because like after the Warriors got eliminated, you know me, like I'm a huge Kuminga fan. There's a high bar for me to be like, okay, let's trade him. But I was just so frustrated with the Warriors and the fact that they didn't play Kuminga. And I get it. There's reasons, but still, I was like, fine, if you're not going to play him, then package him in some trades. That was a couple weeks ago. I was like, go for it. And now I'm like, but interestingly, I would, if I had to pick one, I would actually do the OG and Anobi, Boucher and Precious Achiuwa one over the Siakam one. Just because I like that there's more bodies that they get more out of them. And you still have Wiggins, right? When I used to think during the, or before the trade deadline, I think we talked about this. One reason I wanted to keep Wiseman was to see if they played him, he could look serviceable, and that maybe in the summer they could put him in a package with Poole and maybe get Siakam, you know? But also for me, Siakam was kind of a Draymond replacement more than a Wiggins replacement, because Wiggins still going to be on this roster, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would go for the more bodies, and you know, more bodies means less likely someone's going to get, or you know that the injuries, the injury bug will be less likely to bite you on the butt for that. But again, I don't want to make the trade. I don't want the trade coming in any of this stuff.
Okay.
But if I had to, I'd do the OG Boucher and a Precious one.
He's only in Kuminga's only in about half of these. So
that's fine.
And this is not to be contrarian. I would trade for Siakam in that package. I like OG and Boucher and Precious, that gives you the depth and length and all that. But I think, you know, one of the things that Steph said about like varying the looks, they're so perimeter scoring oriented, right? They couldn't score from anywhere else, right? Whether it was, you know, in the perimeter or a perimeter guy attacking the rim. So Siakam would be able to put some rim pressure on. He can score in the lane. He gets in there. He's had a couple of years where he shot better from three. You know, it's enough to maybe keep defenses honest, but he's not great at it. Defense is okay. It does create a bit of a logjam between Looney and Draymond, but he can play with either of those guys. And the main reason why I like this is because he's a legit number two scoring option. He's been the number one for the last few years after Leonard left the Raptors, but he's a legitimate, you know, 1B or 2A after Curry, which I don't think Wiggins is going to step up into that number two, and I don't think Klay is that guy anymore. So Siakam gives you that. And it comes from different spots. And so if you're talking about diversifying the offense, that's what I like about that. What I don't necessarily like, he's not a great ball mover. And so that's where, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a give and take. If Steph, you want diversity, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to get a pass right where you want it, at least not initially, right? But he is a guy that you have your second unit, or on times when Curry is out, which he will be, then this is the guy. It's like, go out and take 25 shots. So, stuff that stat sheet. So that's the one I would like, at the expense of Kuminga, who I agree. I want to see him blossom here. I mean, well, let's just say that out loud.
Yeah. Who would come off the bench? Would you put Looney off the bench and then put Siakam at the five?
I think it would be a matchup. I think it would be a matchup thing. Then, you know, Looney's shown that he's like, yeah, sure, I'm fine coming off the bench. And or maybe it's like, oh, Embiid is in town. It's like, well, let's get Looney in there and start him. And then Dre or Siakam can come off the bench. And I think there's a lot of modularity that they can do. And some, you know, I think some fans have also said like, oh, maybe Draymond will be the new Andre. And, you know, you could maybe imagine that, right? And you saw how he ran the second unit, and that was a positive thing for them. So that's one that I'm okay with. Obviously that would have some fringe pieces and Malachi Flynn coming back or something like that, but but we don't need to talk about that and future considerations, draft picks, whatever.
I will say, like, I'm a little convinced, you know, like I said, after the Warriors got eliminated, like I was all down for getting one, because like when you get Siakam, you got somebody who's still in his late 20s and who's like legit. He's like legit. Yeah. You know what you get with him, and he can perform. He's won a title. He can perform on large stages.
Yeah.
So I get that.
And he fits with Wiggins. Solid. He's about the same age as Wiggins, and so as the old guys get older, still in their prime. Both he and Wiggins. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay.
I mean, none of these am I like, woo, let's do that one. I'm trying to, you know, there's few or no Giannis trades in here. So, you know, if you came for Giannis trades, then sorry, almost a half an hour in. Sorry to break it to you. Okay. Another team that seems to be on the rise, you know, Toronto was like, we don't know what direction they're going. Orlando seems to be on the rise. They have a lot of interesting pieces. That's a team that has a lot of front court players. It's a team that has some interesting backcourt players in terms of, and I'm talking about trading Poole to them, just diversifying their backcourt, because they got a kind of a lot of rugged dudes who can score a little bit, but not diversely, and they're not great shooters. So I have three here.
Okay.
And I'm not sure they generally work in the salary cap. Go to the Discord and tell us how we messed up. okay. Number one, this is the one that I came up with. Poole for Jonathan Isaac and Cole Anthony.
Okay. How healthy is Jonathan Isaac?
Pardon?
How healthy is Jonathan Isaac?
He came back from the ACL tear, which took a long time, and then he hurt an oblique or something like that. Wasn't the oblique, but it was something else that is like, it'll be okay. Variation is Poole for Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz. And then the last one is Poole for Wendell Carter and either Fultz or Anthony. I will say I don't think that last one is going to happen. I think Wendell Carter is a good player and they're going to keep him. He's a really versatile big on a good contract. I'm putting Isaac in this contract as the like salary ballast, but a player who, you know, I don't know if you ever played fantasy baseball or anything like that, but there used to be a thing where it's like your post hype sleeper pick, right? So somebody who was, you know, showed promise before, and it's been a while. And maybe you put them in a new system, new environment, and they'll be good, right? So I think this is a player who, before he was injured, was kind of like, you know, maybe had a Jaren Jackson Jr. type defensive impact. And he's a big, and they can use rim protection, that kind of thing. It's, you know, it's tricky because we don't know his medicals. We got to get Rick to dig into those records. But and then on the perimeter side, I was trying to think about, you know, people who can handle the ball, who can score a little bit, but do it in a reliable way. And I know you're no Cole Anthony fan, or you haven't been, and I wasn't either, but I watched him a few times this year and he was pretty good. He played the role of coming off the bench. I know he killed us in a game or two. And I was really impressed with the control that he played with within that role. His numbers are pretty good. He doesn't have great size, but I think as a bench guard, you could do worse. Markelle Fultz, you know, same thing. Kind of scores in different ways. Both are, you know, okay on defense. They would be upgrades over Poole. In this package, your defense is getting better. Your offense is suffering.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I do any of those trades. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Cole Anthony, Jonathan Isaac one before, and I hope Isaac is injury free, is back from all that stuff. That's a big question over. But like, listen, if I brought on like an Orlando guy, they might just be like, "Are you kidding me? Both of them for Jordan Poole?" in any of those scenarios, right? Wendell Carter and Cole Anthony. So you know, this is definitely like a Warriors podcast. But you know, the Cole Anthony thing, it's like I'm not the hugest fan of his, but again, he can score, and if we want just like a different vibe from a backup, then I'm perfectly fine with swapping him out for Poole in that role. I honestly, you know, like, you know, he can't be any worse at defense than Jordan Poole. And it's almost like, you know, fresh slate in a way. And then same thing with like Fultz. I know he has his history, but I would be fascinated to see Fultz play with Clay and Steph. I mean, same with Cole Anthony too, right? Like the open looks that they would get, whether he was sharing the court with both of them or just one of them. So I think that would just shake up at least the sterileness of this team the way it is right now. Yeah. So I would definitely do that. And if we got Wendell Carter Jr. for Jordan Poole, are you kidding me?
That was not happening. You know, this all shows like it's really hard to tell what Poole's value is right now. And, you know, to that imaginary Orlando fan, I would say, like, it's not easy to score 24 points over a protracted period of time in the NBA. Like, none of your backcourt dudes do that. But you also could pair Poole with, with Suggs. And that's a nice pairing, right? Yeah. Like, you got your defensive, like, pit bull guy, and then you got your flashy shake and bake guy, right? So, I think Poole is a good player, and when he's had the opportunity to get into the flow, he can be that 20 point per game scorer, and that's not something that you can get from anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a lot of chatter early in the season, right, about Poole and Orlando in the offseason too, and I was like, wow, they really. You know, people really making this up, really want him and whatnot. And I'm sure that would still be there because, in theory, you give Poole like that slot on the Magic, and he'll be better than he is now than he showed this season. He'll be better than potentially both those guys, right? And I think that would be fascinating to me and good for Poole if he would be better than them. But you know, to me, it's like just kind of changing it up. And yeah, that's the recency bias, right? Like you're saying Poole's good. He is good, right? Mm-hmm. We saw what he can do in the playoffs when there's pressure. And he enjoys taking the big shot. We know that. He enjoys not, you know, locking down his man on defense in a high-pressure situation. But I think just to stir the pot, I would be open for any of those. If, you know, Jalen Suggs. I don't know Orlando's like plan for the future. You know, they just have all these guards that got rid of RJ Hampton, of course. But if it's Cole Anthony, Fultz, Suggs, who didn't have a good rookie year, had a better sophomore year. If they could get him in the mix, I'd be like, oh yeah, I would love that. But that might just be, Warriors Homer fan making stuff up.
That was a guy we liked in our pre-draft some years ago. Let me think. Okay. I'm gonna stay on this track because I think, you know, with the exception of Siakam, we haven't really gone for we've been going for more depth and roles, like guys who can fit roles, and guys who can fit into what they need, which is better defense and maybe more diverse offense. Okay, so I'm going to skip a couple of these, and I'm going to go to New Jersey. I have two trades here. One that I
mean, Brooklyn.
Sorry, jeez. Wow. So for the younger folks, the Brooklyn Nets used to be the New Jersey Nets.
You're just tuning in for the first time in like 10 years.
Seriously. One I think is not really likely, but it's the one that I like better. But they're both trades that are centered around Poole for Dinwiddie. So the first one would be Dinwiddie and one of two, like Dorian Finney-Smith and or Royce O'Neal. Sorry, I'm not sure how the salary cap works for that one. And then the second one, which I like better, Dinwiddie and Claxton.
Yeah. So who do the Warriors give up in these?
Oh, these are Poole. You know what? I didn't write that down. Poole and Kuminga. I don't know. Or just Poole.
I mean, yeah,
Poole. These are some ones that I pulled from the internet, and and I think they were framing it as just Poole, but I think for Claxton, you would have to give up Kuminga.
Yeah, I mean, in the Dinwiddie Claxton one, I like Claxton a lot.
So do I really.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and just say like everything with Kuminga, I'm going to say no to. Actively looking to see what can make this team better. And I know playing Kuminga, if Kuminga can be more consistent, if he can rebound, if people start worrying about his shot and guarding him outside, that's all huge and that would make the team better. But if we're just looking, improving the team trade-wise, like Dinwiddie and Claxton give us a lot of what I was looking for. I know Dinwiddie is not a point guard, but the dude can score. He can be an off-the-bench scorer.
He distributes a little bit.
Handle the ball.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, we know the Warriors, a lot of dudes bring the ball up and then it leaves their hands. And, you know, you don't need a traditional point guard per se. But then Claxton is a lot of what we've wanted in a young, athletic big. And he has that, he has attitude. He's tough.
Protects the rim.
Solid defense, rebounds.
This is one that I got from the internet. I'm like, this is not going to happen. But I mean, Claxton is, I love that guy. And as our perimeter players get older, Clay not being able to stick on people as well. You know, obviously GP2 and Wiggins are still good point of attack defenders, but having a rim protector behind them is going to change a lot. Like, it's going to be huge if you have somebody like Claxton or, you know, Jonathan Isaac or something, if he's healthy. That's why, I mean, I would love this trade. And Dinwiddie can fill that role that Poole has been expected to play, but doesn't want to play, right? And Dinwiddie's a little bit older, kind of, I think he's 29 or 30 years old. He's been in the league. You know, it's kind of a, not that he burns bridges, but he, you know, is a little bit gruff, I think, when he leaves town and in certain places, but has shown an ability to score, to distribute, to do a little bit of everything and be able to come off the bench or start. And it's not an issue. So I really like that trade. I don't think.
Yeah. I don't do the other one. If it includes Kuminga, the Dinwiddie and either Royce O'Neal or Dorian Finney-Smith, I get the defense that those guys bring, but like, I mean, I would count on Kuminga being as good of a defender or at least like a better defender than he was last season. And he's tracking to be improved and then bringing you all the other stuff that those two don't give you. So,
for that one, it'd be like, just keep Poole and Kuminga. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if it was just for Poole, then for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this was one that we talked about on the Discord, and it was brought up by the Houston beat writer on The Athletic. But maybe we can talk about it real quick.
Yeah,
The Houston trade, Poole and Kuminga for, let me get my my acronyms right, Kevin Porter Jr., KJ Martin, so it just says KPJ and KJM, and the number 4 pick. How do you feel about that? I think how they proposed it in the article, there was some other future considerations, but how do you like that trade?
I forgot what I said about it.
Well, you can change your mind. You can say something different now. There you go.
I kind of like it because, again, it depends on how many young dudes they have on the roster, how many they carry over. I mean, you know, Kenyon Martin's kid, I think, is solid defensively. Kevin Porter Jr. can score. Will he? I mean, you know, my question is the thing that, you know, they always talk about with the Warriors, Andre Iguodala and the vets. Is this guy a Warriors type player? You know, I don't know if they are. I don't know if Kevin Porter Jr. is. And, you know, it seems like he, after he talked trash to Steph last season, that, you know, he showed some respect for him and everything. And maybe he would fit in nicely and be able to play that movement kind of game. But I see him more as like kind of a one-on-one player. But that number 4 pick, depending, you know, I haven't studied the draft, but you know, you won the Thompson brothers, like the I think is it Amen?
Thompson. Amen and Asar.
Yeah. So if you get Amen Thompson, then, or whoever else is better by the time the draft comes around, then okay, then maybe that covers for coming, because Amen Thompson is like a tall point guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that could provide some instant entertainment. So I think I would lean towards yes again, also just to shake it up, because not to sound like a broken record, but after watching every game last season and doing a podcast episode about every game pretty much last season, I don't want to see the same team last season. It was unfun, no joy. They faked it, and they only showed joy when they went off for like 53 pointers or whatever against the Thunder at home, and then every other game would be miserable, right? Like I always figured that they were bad on the road, because can you imagine those team dinners, and can you imagine those flights? You know what I mean? Everybody's like, this is not the 2014, 15, 16 teams where they're all like hanging out, singing songs on video and stuff like that, you know? So
yeah,
long-winded way of saying, I'd do it just for fun to mess around with things.
This is definitely a fun trade. I can't imagine this happening.
No. Rockets fans were not into it.
No, and then this is like a video game trade. But I like it, because I kind of like those players. My worry would be is that I don't like, they're volatile. I mean, not KJ Martin, he fills a role pretty well. But Kevin Porter Jr., like, I don't know. I mean, the guy has a lot of skill. But or would you be replicating the issues that you have with Poole? Probably. I don't know that he's ready to accept a lesser role, which he would be. He would have to. So, and then with the number four pick, that seems doubtful to me that Houston would do that. I would have to think they would be able to get some pieces that fit them a little bit better. But I do think probably, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. is, if they do get James Harden, he probably is on the outs. So maybe that is a person of interest for the Warriors still. So I don't think it's going to happen, but, and the role, would they fill the role? Would they replicate Kelly Oubre, and, you know, can they fit in the Warriors system?
There you go.
I don't know. But for the reasons that you mentioned, the kind of exciting volatility is kind of cool, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, I am going to throw out, so we have gone for the kind of like role player packages, right? Increase the depth. All of these have addressed defense. All of these have addressed, you know, scoring to some degree, at least trying to fill some of that scoring production that Poole gives you. Okay. But now we're going big game hunting.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going big game hunting here. Okay. Chicago, Poole and Kuminga for Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine's healthy, right? He's pretty healthy now.
He looked all right in the play-in. Yeah. Looked okay.
Yeah. I was going to say yes. But I'm going to say no.
Yeah, like, this was a no for me. I don't know what it is. He is a good player.
It doesn't feel like a winning player, to be honest.
It's a style. It's a stylistic thing, and he does not feel like a winning player. So, shall we move on?
Well, I will say, what about, I mean, just hypothetically, like, would you trade Poole for Caruso? I know the salaries don't match and all that other stuff, or that's the other things.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. We already traded James Wiseman for GP2, who I missed earlier, but like we already got our perimeter point of attack defender. I think when we were discussing Caruso, that was when we didn't have GP2. As much as, you know, Caruso is a great defender and would be definitely be an asset, I just don't think that matches enough of what you need right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is like a flat out no to me, but just to bring it up, the Wizards, Bradley Beal, some kind of package for him.
No. I mean, I've been staunch. We've been staunch. On him even before, like a couple seasons ago, before the title season. So
yeah. Let's move on. No. Okay.
Real quick. You know, on the Discord, I think Kevin, my guy Kevin Lai, who's been on the show a few times, he talked about, I know this is a Clay trade, but he was like, Clay, Moody, and picks for Kuzma and Monty Morris.
I don't know if the contract situation works with Kuzma. Isn't he a free agent?
Is he?
Okay. I think so. Then, so I tried to avoid ones where they would have to do opt-in trade, sign and trade, blah blah blah. There was a Kawakami talking to Danny LaRue on The Athletic, outlined some of these cap and CBA issues in terms of trades. I think bringing anybody in on a sign and trade is not possible. Signing Draymond and then trading him out is possible.
Okay.
So, but again, correct me if I'm wrong. Tell us in the Discord.
But I wouldn't do that trade anyway.
I just think I
wouldn't. Including picks? No. Okay.
Okay. Pool for DeAndre Ayton.
That was something that was tossed about pretty quickly after the Warriors got eliminated. And I was like, yeah. Sure. Yeah. But I don't like DeAndre Ayton. No, like no. I just don't like his vibe. I don't like his attitude. I don't think he would take well to Draymond for one. I don't know if he takes well to coaching. And I would not, with his brand new contract, take that on at all, to be honest. No, I'd rather have Claxton. You know, if we go back to that, I'd rather have him any day.
For sure. No, this is again one that I saw on the internet, and like, there's no way. It also doesn't really address what we need.
Gosh darn internet!
Yeah, stupid internet. it doesn't address what we need. So we can move on. But that was out there. All right, we're still big game hunting. Maybe Ayton is not that big of a game. But how about this one? My friend Lou proposed this to me. Poole and Kuminga for Drew Holiday.
No.
Really?
No. Yeah, I don't do that. No, I don't. I don't, because for one, I don't think the Bucks do that.
But you do that?
But
hometown hero, because Jordan Poole, come on.
Yeah, but like, I know Drew Holiday is a better defender than Jonathan Kuminga, but especially with the age difference, like, I don't want to sell on Kuminga for that, especially if you're including Poole, a guy that we want to move, but just like that package together. You know what I mean? If it's Poole and Moody, you know, then we're talking, you know what I mean? Or Poole picks some of the other guys at the end of the bench, Ryan Rollins or something, you know, perhaps BBJ. But just in terms of Kuminga, like, I would love Drew Holiday on this team, but it would have to be a combination of Poole and somebody else for me.
Okay. It's because he's an older player and you're punting on your young core. That's why you're not interested in this one.
Yeah, if Drew Holiday was like Siakam's age, you know, or
I believe he's 32.
Yeah,
and he's Clay's age. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't do that, because you just get older. And again, I'll take Drew Holiday, but if it's instead of Kuminga and Poole, it's Poole and Moody and a pick, then I'm into it. You know,
this is one that I like. I don't know that I do this, but I do like Drew Holiday in terms of fit, in terms of being like a defender, being a scorer who you can rely on. Like, he's a winner. He's like totally reliable guy. So
you know who does do that trade? Steph and Draymond.
Absolutely.
And Klay Thompson.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, I think I'd agree with you that it matters a little bit of what's on the fringes of this. Are there other ways to restock a little bit of our depth or our youth, that kind of thing? Maybe they're trying to get younger. They want some picks or something like that. Like, they have an old and expensive team. I think that's why, to me, this actually feels like feasible, or you can imagine a universe where this could maybe happen, right? Where you get a local guy who can really score, and then a young project with potential who you can tutor under Giannis, right? So so I could see this, and I think Drew Holiday would be a good fit on the Warriors, like coming off the bench filling in as a starter or whatever. Or, you know, you can start him sometimes in certain matchups or whatever. Like, this is one of those trades where it doesn't matter who starts, it's who finishes the game, right? And he'd be like, he would definitely be in your finishing lineup, like, more than anybody we've talked about. Like, he would absolutely, like, right now, I'd put him in the finishing lineup.
Hey, then I'd ship out Gary Payton too, then.
Okay. We still got another big name here. And I think we got, this was from the stupid internet as well. Was it from those? I don't know, actually. Poole and Kuminga for Paul George.
You know who makes that trade? Gosh, man, like, that's tough, because, like, I like Kuminga, and I worry about Paul George's age and his health, plain and simple, because we already have three dudes who are older, and then Looney, even though he's played every game for the last two seasons, who knows how long that's going to last. So that's tough, because part of me is like, if he's healthy, then that would really, really, like, short things up. But I don't, again, because of the injuries and the age. It's tough to say no, because that feels like it would really, really, like, put them pretty high up, top three, maybe, depending on how they fill out the rest of the roster. But I will say, man, I'm just a Kuminga stan in this one. I'll say no.
This is one that you could probably take almost everything I said about Drew Holiday and apply it to this trade. But for some reason, I'm not that excited about this one. And maybe it's the reliability, whether it's age or performance, right? It's hard to shake the image of, like, Paul George has been good in the playoffs. He really has. It's hard to shake the image of hitting the side of the backboard.
Yeah, the backboard.
Exactly. And it almost feels like an odd fit. And I don't know why it feels that way. Like, you could play him at the four and Draymond plays a five. But I think it is about the health as well, and just also getting old. So I don't know why I'm for the Drew Holiday one and not for Paul George, but
in the injury history.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm less in the winner vibe. And the what?
Winner vibe.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. No Paul George.
All right. I've pretty much reached the end of my list. So is there any ones that you want to add? Any other big game or depth trades?
Here's another one. Here's another one from Kevin. Poole and maybe a pick for Keldon Johnson.
I like that. I would do it.
Do you think do you think the Spurs would want?
I don't think so. I think they would. I also think Kerr would really like that trade too. Johnson on the USA basketball Olympic program? I think they would like that. He seems like a culture fit.
Absolutely. Great role player. I mean, you kidding me? I don't think the Spurs make that trade. I don't think like, oh, we got Wembanyama. You know who we need? Jordan Poole. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see that being like the guy that they're looking around the league and saying, like, oh, we could really take the ball out of Wembanyama's hands. Yes.
Shooting 35 footers. I mean, if Poole's driving us crazy, he'll drive Popovich even more crazy. I guess I like that. I mean, there, Keldon Johnson may not have the kind of the highs of Jordan Poole, and so you might miss that in terms of
that's fine. Doesn't have the lows either.
Okay, you got any other ones?
There's one here from Simply David on the Discord. This involves Clay, so I know this has the asterisk next to it. Thompson, JK, Moody, and a first for LaVine and Caruso. Cool. I do not give up all of that. Kuminga, Moody, and a first. That's a lot to me. And like you said, Caruso kind of duplicates GP2 in some respects. So me personally, I just don't do that. I think the Bulls might pull the trigger on that, but depending on what their path is, but no, I don't do that.
All right. Any other ones from the Discord?
No. I mean, this was from like when the Celtics were down.
You know, a Jaylen Brown trade, no doubt. Yeah,
Jaylen Brown. I don't know what Jaylen Brown is going to demand if he doesn't get the Supermax from the Celtics. And at this point, they might be forced to give it to them because if they make it to the finals, then it's like you're not going to break it up, or even if they win the finals. But I don't know what it would take to get Jaylen Brown. I like Jaylen Brown, but then I don't want to pay a guy 40. I mean, I don't know how much he would make if he was a free agent. I don't know what the CBA says about that. So
it's a lot.
Yeah, because then you'd have to include maybe Wiggins, Kuminga, Poole. And right then and there, it's like, yo, Jaylen's nice and all, but he's not Wiggins, Kuminga, Poole combined. Yeah.
He's not three dudes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if is there any kind of combination, again, whatever the salary may be, any combination of those three guys or anybody else that you would give up for Jaylen Brown?
I think that he just compounds the money issue. And I really like him as a player. I just don't see it happening because of those money issues. So I guess it would be, I mean, I would do Poole and Kuminga for Jaylen Brown. Sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he's having a hard time being a number two to Tatum on that team, like, hey, if you don't like number two, how do you like number four? You know,
and who sits?
Yeah, right. So I just don't know if I see a fit in terms of the mentality of that that particular player.
How about Jaylen Brown for Klay Thompson, straight up?
Well, it works on the trade machine, right?
So yeah, that's all I got on my end.
Okay. Okay. I mean, some other folks at various moments of our off-season craziness have thrown out like LeBron, Embiid, Giannis, Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, none of those are happening. There's no way.
Yeah. I mean, the LeBron one, a lot of ink has been poured on that. And when he said all that stuff, I mean, I didn't want that. I don't want a 39-year-old Bron.
No.
And then a 39-year-old LeBron will be 39 like on December 31st with a foot tendon surgery over the summer. Yeah. Right? Like, I don't want that, man. So I'm good. I'm good. No Bron. Embiid, that's not even a question. Giannis, there's no way at this point. I get it after they lost. Like, this is the same thing with Poole, right? That recency bias of like, oh man, terrible, you know, is going to want to leave and break it up and whatever. But, you know, they just hired a new coach, Agent Griffin, and I'm sure he's not going to want to ask out after that. And then Karl-Anthony Towns, he's definitely not a Warriors player, right? He's not him. Like, that's what we always say. You tell me that all the time.
But he doesn't need to be him.
That's the thing, though. He does not need to be him. And if it depends on who it would cost. Does it cost Clay? Does it cost Poole, Kuminga? I don't know what people have posted on whatever websites, but it could be interesting. You know, it could be interesting, and he would be. I mean, do you have any idea what people have said it would cost to get Karl-Anthony Towns?
I think the issue with him is that I think he has an extension that kicks in, and it's huge. So
yeah,
I think it makes it hard to not have Klay Thompson in that trade. But I can't imagine the Wolves wanting Klay Thompson in that deal. It's an odd fit in terms of like salary wise, I believe. And
they take Wiggins back.
I mean, just for the sake of argument, pairing him with Draymond would work.
Yep.
You know,
For sure.
And being a number two, where he has some pressure taken off of him. I don't think he's the best shooting big man ever, but he's pretty good at shooting. And, you know, we're all dying to see, like, this is why we're all talking about PBJ, because we want some big to shoot some threes, right?
And, future all-star PBJ.
Well, this, I mean, he would, you know, he'd hit 200 or 300 threes on this team, right? So, yeah. So it is something that would be very interesting. I just don't think that there's really a way for it to happen. But I could also think that, you know, without getting into future considerations, like just thinking of what Minnesota gave up, the idea of working some kind of deal to get some young prospects, get some draft picks back, and just hand the keys to Edwards. They're stuck with Gobert. Yep. Like, you can imagine it. You can imagine it, I think, more than these other, big ticket guys. Like LeBron or, like, you know, former MVPs. It's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see Minnesota deciding to go in that direction, but, depends on what it would cost for the Warriors. But again, I don't really see that happening, but it's a fun thought.
Are any of these like, yeah, that's the one I want? Because we did our depth trades and we did our like big game trades. Like, do you have a leaning in either of those directions?
I mean, Dinwiddie, Claxton, any of the Orlando trades, I was pretty quick on those.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to give up Kuminga in the Toronto deals and stuff like that. I think that I will say something just in terms of, you know, that idea of who can replace Poole on the Warriors. A lot of these trades involve either a guard or somebody who can pick up the scoring slack off the bench or mixed in with the second unit, right? So I think that gets addressed. And then also you have Moses Moody, who can play two guard, right? And he's obviously really different from Poole, but he can give you some things that Poole didn't, and then you can find scoring and turnovers elsewhere.
The Warriors can find that. They're really good at developing players.
Still we'll pick up the slack on that. Same with Draymond. He'll throw some fast break bombs. So.
Yeah, I really don't see it happening, but I love the idea of getting Dinwiddie and Claxton. I mean, I think maybe one of the only reasons is that they're both free agents after next year, I believe. So maybe Brooklyn, not New Jersey, is interested in moving them along. I mean, the way Claxton has developed, though, I can't imagine that you let that guy go. But I love that trade. And I like some of these Orlando ones too. Assuming that Rick gets in those medical records, says like Jonathan Isaac, he's good to go. I don't really see the big swings happening. I just don't. But if it happens, we'll do a do a reaction podcast, emergency.
And there might have to be more fake trade podcasts as the season goes, because it's only been 2 weeks and wounds are still fresh. The season is not yet over,
and the draft is coming up, which is time for a lot of that stuff to be more chatter.
Yeah, no, but it's always fun talking about these like instant reaction ones, instant reaction to the elimination or to the season, because it's like. Anyway, man, thank you for coming on once again. I'm sure we'll see you more during the off season.
Of course.
All right,
it's my time to shine.
It's go time.
There we go.
You guys can find Aram on Twitter at Aram Collier, ARAMCOLLIER. That's it. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review, saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.